again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. Those of you that are listening as WMAF streams by computer, we welcome you today. And those of you that are listening right there in Madison, North Florida area, of course, we welcome you today. And those of you that have downloaded this teaching from our website, we're glad you came to visit us. Hope you'll come back again and hope you'll get into the Word of God with us. And more importantly, let the Word of God get down on the inside of you. The Bible said if it does, if it finds its mark in a good ground heart, the Word of God will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's great power and great potential in what we're getting ready to do here today, and that is to read from the Scriptures and to teach the principles and particularly the person, praise God, in the Bible. So get your Bible out if you can. If not, just get your heart opened as well as your ears today, and let's hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. These are great days if you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. He is moving and touching and changing lives all over the world, and in the process of changing those lives, He's changing the destiny of the human soul. Praise God. Amen. We're going to be talking under this heading of praying as priest and priestly praying. We're going to be talking about one of the greatest ministries of the priesthood, and that is to intercede in behalf of others, and particularly the New Testament priesthood, that we as New Testament believers might continue to pray without ceasing for those that do not know Christ as their Savior, and to pray with all of our heart and soul for the needs of our brothers and sisters around us, that we might see God move in answer to our intercessions. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking primarily in a few moments about praying for the lost, but let's read the Scripture first, and then we'll move forward in this study today. If we'll take our text from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, interceding for the unsaved, literally praying for the lost. But we need to establish some things before just jumping in to how to pray for people who don't know Christ as their Savior. Let's read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Ah, friend, listen to this again. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Make no mistake about it today. God wants to save every person on this planet. The Bible says in John 3:16, such a familiar, powerful verse of Scripture revealing the very heart of God for the lost. And listen to what it said. It said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that includes you today, that included me many, many years ago when God spoke to my heart, drew me to Christ. Listen, that whosoever would believe upon Him would not perish but have eternal life. The Bible said it's not God's will that any perish, but that all would be saved. And when we pray for others who are lost, we are praying the very heart of God. Amen. Now, we're talking about priest and priesthood and intercessions here today. So let's just define intercession before we go further in exactly, precisely how to pray for the lost. Intercessory prayer is very simply stated prayer for others. An intercessor is one who takes the place of another or pleads another's case. One study Bible defines intercession as holy, believing, persevering prayer, whereby someone pleads with God on behalf of another or others who desperately need God's intervention. I like that. I'm going to read that again. Amen. It's holy, believing, persevering prayer, whereby someone pleads with God on behalf of another or others who desperately need God's intervention. Intercessory prayer has a biblical foundation. The people who can pray that prayer in the New Testament, there is a ministry of intercession, and it's a calling of God to every New Testament believer. The Word of God declares, number one, that we are a holy priesthood. And I want to read that from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen to this. It says, "Ye, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ." We're not only called a holy priesthood in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, but we're called a royal priesthood in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Amen. And the Bible calls us a kingdom of priests in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Listen to it. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and forever." Amen. Kings in the sense of delegated authority. Priest in the sense that we are qualified by the Lord Jesus Himself to pray those wonderful prayers of intercession. Praise the Lord. The background, as I said, for our understanding of this calling is the priestly intercession that is found in the Old Testament, particularly the Levitical priesthood. The priest's responsibility was to stand before and between. He stood before God to minister to Him with sacrifices and offerings. The priest also stood between a righteous God and sinful man, bringing them together at the place of the blood sacrifice. Hebrews 7, 11 through 19, for time's sake I won't read it, but it explains the difference between the Old and New Testament ministries of the priest. The Old Testament Levitical priesthood was passed on from generation to generation through the descendants of the tribe of Levi. The Melchizedek priesthood spoken of in this passage is the new order of spiritual priests, of whom the Lord Jesus is the high priest. And it is passed on to us through His blood and our spiritual birth as new creatures in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Jesus, as we're speaking of Him, is our model intercessor. Jesus stands before God and between Him and sinful man, just as the Old Testament priest did. "For there is one God," the Scripture says, "and one mediator," or intercessor, "between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ." That's in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. One God and one mediator between God and men, literally one intercessor between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And the Scripture went on to say, "It is Christ who died, and furthermore, who is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us And that's in Romans 8 and verse 34. And then the scripture goes on to say, therefore, he is also able to save them to the uttermost who come to God through him, seeing that he always lives to make intercessions for them. And that's in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Jesus brings sinful man and a righteous God together at the place of the blood sacrifice for sin. And we all know, don't we, where that place is. It's none other than the cross, where Jesus, as our intercessor, took our place as our substitute, as our sacrifice lamb. Jesus pleads his own blood in the presence of God for every one of us that has received him as our Lord and our personal Savior. Praise God. You know, I like the wonderful scripture in the New Testament that talks about Jesus praying for every one of us. At first glance, it seems like he's only praying for Peter, because he said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. When he said, I have prayed for you, it is in the plural of the actual language it was written in. In other words, I have prayed for you all, or I have prayed for all of you, every one of you that believe on me, I intercede personally for you. Satan is out to destroy you, but I'm standing up in your behalf. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I've had weak times in my life, and I am absolutely convinced, were it not for Christ's intercession, pleading his blood in my behalf and literally praying for me in the presence of God and my Father, I would have went under a long time ago. But I'm not left down here without a holy help from above. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody up there doesn't just like me. Somebody up there loves me. Praise the Lord. And because of that divine love, it motivates God to forgive. It motivates Christ to intercede for you and for me. You say, Pastor, I could never be a Christian. Number one, God could never forgive me. You're very wrong on that, dear friend. God can forgive the greatest sins because he's doing it, not on the basis of your worthiness for forgiveness, but the worth of the blood sacrifice to him. His own son's sinless blood was shed so that every one of us, fallen members of Adam's fallen race, every one of us can be saved. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad to be a preacher today to somebody listening, hearing this somewhere that feels like you're not worthy. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not worthy either. And none of us, in fact, are worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. But we are worthy through the blood to become the very children of God. That is the gracious, wonderful, powerful story of the gospel, that unholy, unworthy men and women, boys and girls can be forgiven, can be saved, can be delivered from sin's dread sway. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm one of those people today that I know in myself there is no way I could deserve heaven. But oh, what God has done through Christ for me. And now it is my privilege, because Jesus interceded for me, because others interceded for my salvation, it is my privilege now to intercede for you if you don't know Jesus. We've been praying for you. You say, you don't even know my name. You've never met me. You may never meet me. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter. When we pray for lost men and women around the world, God knows we're praying for you if you don't know Jesus. And we feel you in our hearts when we pray, because there is both passion and compassion in our prayers. The Holy Spirit in us is reaching through us and our intercessions to you right where you are. That's why I'm not trying to mentally convince you of something, that you make a mental consent or a mental acceptance of the gospel. But oh, this goes deeper than just the mind alone. The mind is the gate by which it gets to your spirit. As you open your mind and your heart to receive the Word of God, it'll get down on the inside of you, produce the faith to believe and the faith to receive. Praise God. And we're praying the Holy Spirit is convicting today and convincing. And not only that, that the Holy Spirit in every child of God, regardless of your age or stage of spiritual development or growth, God has made us, me and you, you and I, kings and priests unto God. Literally a kingdom of priests that have been given delegated authority, amen, and biblical qualifications to intercede between God and a fallen men and women, boys and girls. And we're going to bring you some testimonies of the power of intercessory prayer, but we're going to just talk about it just a little bit more here today. Amen. The first principle in praying for the lost is to understand very clearly that the lost, everyone that doesn't know Jesus, are loved by God. The Bible said in the New Testament in 1 John, herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, gave His own Son in our behalf, that a holy God who is obligated by His holiness and justice to judge our sin, judged our sin in Jesus because He wanted to forgive us. That is love. The Scripture went on to say that, but let me back up. That is love beyond any definition on this earth that could be given. That a holy God offended by our sin would love us enough to find a way to judge our sin in His Son so that He could forgive our sin, accept us in the Beloved, and take us into His heart and to His kingdom to live with Him forever, age without end. What a gospel, what a glorious, powerful love that is given us in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ today. The Bible said God commended His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember when you're praying for the worst of sinners, that God loves that man, God loves that woman, that boy, that girl. Christ came here to seek and to save the lost. That was His mission. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. You know the context of 2 Peter here is people scoffing at the message of the second coming, of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Literally scoffing. They said, where is the sign of His coming? For ever since our fathers went to sleep, everything remains as it is to this day. In other words, it's all nonsense. There's no, if there is a God, we can't know Him. And if there is a God, then He's never going to show up. And the coming of the Lord is a myth for weak people who want to grab at some kind of theological straw to cope with life. Listen, friend, no, this is real. Every prophecy concerning the first coming of Jesus, to be born a babe in that manger, to live and go to the cross and die and be resurrected again and ascend to heaven. Everything concerning all of that specifically has been fulfilled 100%. And we have no doubt that the prophecies about His second coming are going to be fulfilled specifically to the letter, 100%. Praise the Lord, and know that God loves fallen man today, and that it is His will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. They couldn't provoke Him to come in early, because He wants to give an opportunity for all men to be saved. The story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 is a story of God's redemptive love. And He said in Luke 19 in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I like what Oswald Chambers said. He said, "When we pray for others, the Spirit of God works in the unconscious domain of their being that we know nothing about. And the one we are praying for knows nothing about. But after the passing of time, the conscious life of the one prayed for begins to show signs of unrest and disquiet." And I might just add to that, tell me about it. There were people praying for me when I was lost and bound by sin. And I couldn't find any fulfillment or peace in any sin that I practiced. We may have spoken until we're worn out, but have never come anywhere near. And we have given up in despair. But if we have been praying, we find on meeting them one day that there is the beginning of a softening in an inquiry and a desire to know something. It's that kind of intercession that does the most damage to Satan's kingdom. It's so slight, so feeble in its initial stages, that if reason is not wedded to the light of the Holy Spirit, we will never obey it. And yet, it is that kind of intercession that the New Testament places most emphasis on. Praise God. I'll tell you, start praying for somebody. Sometimes seems like it's going in reverse. They become agitated. They become uneasy. They become unsatisfied, even with all the sins they might espouse. But I'm telling you, it is the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, because His desire and design is not that we find fulfillment through sin in the illusion that this world can somehow satisfy the gaping hole that is in our heart that only God can fill. Oh, friend, today, don't look at Christianity. I mean, you may find some Christians that are need a lot of Holy Ghost sandpaper to smooth us out. But I'm going to tell you, some of us are part of that motley crew. I understand that. But I want you to know today, our sins are forgiven. God is at work in every one of our lives. Amen. And the grace and the love of God has flowed to us through the cross at Calvary. And if anyone has truly met Jesus Christ in a born-again experience and is following Him closely and wholeheartedly, there is a fulfillment that nothing in this world could ever come close to. We used to sing it, "Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back." There's nothing to go back to, amen, but there's so much to gain. In fact, there's too much to gain to lose. Praise God, amen. So God loves the lost today, and God wants us to speak those words in prayer that make us the go-between, to intercede just like He did on the cross. You know, the Bible said of Jesus, His own words, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Lifted up from the earth is how He died. He was suspended on a cross of wood between heaven and earth. He hung. But while He hung suspended between heaven and earth, He bridged the awful gap that sin had created. It's like He was taking one hand of God, a holy, righteous God, who's obligated by His holiness to judge sin in sinful, fallen man. He's taking the hand of that holy God, and He's taking the hand of unholy men and women who repent of their sin and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He's taken the hand of God and the hand of man, who were alienated because of sin, enemies, where there was an enmity that nothing could resolve, and as the greatest intercessor of all, giving his own body and presenting it as a sacrifice. He takes the hand of God and the hand of man, and he becomes the go-between that makes the connection. And now God can accept me. God can accept you as his own children today. And we can accept God as our heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a joy it is to know Jesus Christ today. To know where I'm headed. When I draw my last breath here, that I'm going to take the next breath in heaven. And I'm going to see him who loved me enough to lay down his life for me. And I'm going to see him who loved me enough to give his only begotten son for me. And I'm going to see my loved ones who are in heaven. And we're going to be together forever. And death will not cancel our love. Amen. It will be eternal. Praise God, as eternal as God himself today. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, what more can I say than what the Scriptures have been telling you? God loves you. It's not his will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. And someone is praying for you. Someone is interceding for you. Someone who has found Christ. It could be your praying mama. It could be a coworker where you work. And you say, well, I don't know of anybody praying for me. It could be one of your children praying for you, on the other hand. I'm going to tell you, there are Christians praying for you. You say, well, do I know these people? No, and they don't know you. But they know there are people that don't know Jesus, and they take those people to their heart. We are praying. We are earnestly, passionately. We just stopped our normal Sunday night service, and we're praying for God to come down in a particular way, in the conviction of sins and the bringing of men and women to salvation, drawing men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. Sunday night is a night of holy intercession. Everything is changing. God is doing something mighty and wonderful. And I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is right there where you are today. I'm convinced that he is beginning to deal with your heart. And I'm praying right now that you will accept his invitation to come to Jesus Christ, who loves you so much, presented his body and his blood in your behalf so you could be saved. And I believe that he is drawing you right now through his love and his cross, his blood and his sacrifice, by his Spirit and by the simple preaching of God's Word and the testimony. I'm not a professional today. I'm a person who is lost and is found. I have met Jesus Christ, and I invite you to come to know him as your personal Savior, right where you are, right now. More important that you bow your heart than it is your head. If you're driving in your car, you can pray while you're driving. Right now, you can say, Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry that I've rejected you. I'm so sorry that I've offended you, Father God. I repent of my sins. I can't promise I can change myself, but I promise I can change my mind about my sin, and I don't want to follow this road anymore. And I believe that you bled and died on the cross to save me, and that you can change me from the inside out. But it doesn't begin with the change. It begins with opening the door of your heart and simply inviting Jesus in as you repent right now. Right where you are. And if you're a Christian today, begin to pray, intercede. And once you begin, never stop, as long as it takes to see captives set free. Join us in prayer for revival. Hallelujah. Souls swept into the kingdom of God because God, in response to intercession, comes down. Hallelujah. We love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.